Thank you, Jack. God's people said, and glory and hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Wow, what a privilege to be here with you folks today. You know, I came in here this morning, and some of the folks I've known in the past, they came and spoke to me and hugged me, and it was great to see folks. And some folks, I won't even tell you who it was, because that wouldn't be right. But one person said, "You sure have aged." I wanted to say, you look in the mirror this morning yourself, you know. But then, right before the service started, this young man and this young woman, who were about 5 and 8 years old, or 9 years old, 10 or 12 years ago when I was here, and I was looking up to them when they came in the door, I think I have gotten old, you know. I mean, and y'all know who I'm talking about back there on the back row back there. But anyway, but it is good to be here with you folks. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. If you will, take your Bibles and turn in them. Two different passages, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 5, verses 18 through 24. And then in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, I'll read two verses, verses 5 and 6. Genesis 5, 18 through 24. And as you are turning in those passages, let's stand together as we give honor to this reading of God's holy word. And if you don't have a copy of God's word this morning, just scooch on over by somebody who does, all right? Genesis chapter 5, verses 18 through 24. Scripture reads in this fashion: "When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he had become the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him away." And then in Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6, "By faith, Enoch was taken away from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Father God, thank you for the wonderful privilege that is mine today to be here amongst your people, proclaiming a message from you. And Father, I do pray that as I speak, that the words that are forthcoming will not be from me, but from you through your messenger. And Father, I pray that those in attendance today here in person, those who may be listening by another means, I pray, Lord, that hearts and lives would be changed, not just for this moment, but Father, for all eternity, as someone comes to a saving faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, as someone who may not be walking as closely with you as they know they need to, recommits their heart and life to you today afresh, and begins that path of walking with you. Father, I just pray that you would be in this service, and that your Holy Spirit might move in and among and around each of us in a powerful way, that we would leave here in just a few moments changed, resolved and determined to serve you in a deeper and more meaningful way. In your Son's name I pray, amen. In his book, The Windowsill of Heaven, J. Winston Pierce relates how S.D. Gordon, who was the author of the Quiet Talk series of books, would take long walks every morning and every evening. Gordon had a habit as he would walk along of just simply extending one arm from his side as he would walk along. And then as he when he turned and came back, he would just simply put this arm down and extend his other arm, and he would walk back to where he started. Well, an observer, someone who had observed Gordon for several days, decided, I'm going to find out what the purpose of his extended arm. And so he went up to the author, he went up to the lecturer, and he asked for an explanation. Well, Gordon probably felt that his actions weren't all that out of the ordinary. And he just figured that, you know, why would someone ask this question? Nonetheless, he responded in this fashion. I was not aware of the gesture, he said. You see, whenever I go for a walk, I simply extend my arm, and the master links his arm with mine. We fall in step and we walk together. When I have walked the distance desired, we turn, the two of us, and the master links his arm in mine again. I never walk alone. The words presented on a church marquee encourages passerbyers with, when you walk with God, you will never walk alone. Gordon said, the Lord Jesus always walks with me. This brief but powerful account of Enoch is highlighted by two important things. First of all, the scripture says that Enoch walked with God for a lifetime. And second, we understand that Enoch did not die. Rather, God took him away. Now, as interesting and as fascinating as this second feature is, the most important aspect of Enoch's life is that he walked with God. As such, Enoch's approach to life is emphasized in the twofold statement in the passage in Genesis that I read, verse 22 and 24. It says that Enoch walked with God. That's the most important aspect of Enoch's life. He walked with God. Three aspects that I would like to share with you this morning concerning walking with God. Three aspects, the first of which is simply this. Walking with God is predicated on having a relationship with Him, being a friend of God, having a friendship with God. Enoch and God had a friendship among themselves, between them, that made them inseparable. Perhaps the term BFF, you've heard that perhaps, best friends forever, could be applied to the relationship shared between God and Enoch. Regarding friendship with God, both Old Testament scriptures and New Testament scriptures note that Abraham was a friend of God. Isaiah 41:8, 2 Chronicles 20:17, James 2:23 all state that Abraham was a friend of God. The Hebrew word translated friend in the Old Testament passages comes from the root word ahav, and it simply means to love. The grammatical form of the word in these Old Testament passages is a participle which denotes ongoing, continual, an ongoing, continual love relationship between Abraham and God. This relationship, this love relationship between Abraham and God was predicated on Abraham's faith in God's promise that a son would be born to Abraham and Sarah. On his faith in the promise that God was going to make Abraham the father of multitudes. Referring to Abraham's faith in God, the writer of James in verses 2:23 referenced Genesis 15:6, in which he indicates that Abraham believed, or Abraham faithed God, and God credited it to him as righteousness. James concluded with these words, Abraham was a friend of God. Now, the Greek term used by James, is the translated friend in English Bibles, is the term philos, which stems from the verbal root meaning simply to love. Thus, philos can mean a friend. someone who is dearly loved, someone who is prized in a personal way, a confidant, someone who is held dear in a close bond of personal affection. In other words, Philos expresses experiential love. As his earthly ministry was coming to a close, Jesus told his disciples, as recorded in John 15, he said, "I am the true vine, and apart from me, you can do nothing." He then commanded them to love each other as I have loved you, and followed that command with a strong hint of what was about to come his way when he declared, "Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for a friend." Then Jesus asserted this, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Jerry Clower, some of y'all will remember the great mouth of the South, right? Jerry Clower once wrote that a person can count on one hand the number of true blue, genuine friends that they will have in the course of a lifetime. The kind of friend who loves you warts and all. The kind of friend that you can call at any hour of the day or night, and they will be available to come to your aid in a moment's notice. Folks, God is that kind of friend. God is that kind of friend who, according to the psalmist, and it was referenced in one of our songs, who is a very present help in time of need, a refuge in time of need. As such, God pursues a love relationship with you, with me, that is real and personal, which if you have gone through the study, Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God by Henry Blackaby and Claude King, you'll understand that God pursues a love relationship that is real and personal. It's one of the seven realities of experiencing God. Not unlike Abraham, who believed God, who faithed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Enoch's friendship with God was a relationship that was based on, predicated on faith. Enoch's trust in God was evidenced in his approach to life of walking with God by faith rather than by sight, as Paul wrote to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:7. Recognizing the importance of faith in Enoch's friendship with God, the writer of Hebrews noted that Enoch, quote, was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Folks, Enoch was a friend of God. And his friendship with God was demonstrated by and through his consistent pattern of walking with his Lord. The chorus to a song penned by Israel Houghton, entitled, "I Am a Friend of God," is simply, "I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend." Are you, like Enoch, like Abraham, like Jesus' disciples, a friend of God? Are you obeying the commands, the instructions presented in God's Word? Are you attached to the true vine, and are you producing fruit, much fruit, as you abide in Him? Are you walking with God daily and consistently? When you do, you will never walk alone. Part and parcel of experiencing a deep and abiding friendship with God is having fellowship with God. Walking with God afforded Enoch unlimited opportunities for fellowship with God. The prophet Amos said, "Can two walk together unless they be agreed?" And the reality of that statement is that you can only walk with someone else if you are in agreement both as to the direction of the walk and the pace of the walk. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? From the beginning, God intended the crowning work of His creation, mankind, humankind, to enjoy fellowship with Him. Scripture seems to indicate that Adam and Eve may have enjoyed fellowship with God in the cool of the day, the breezy part of the day, walking with Him there in the garden, prepared for them by the Lord. Of course, their disobedience damaged that relationship. Noah was the great-grandson of Enoch. And like his great-grandpa, Noah had sweet fellowship with God. So close was their fellowship that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord in the midst of a culture, in the midst of a society that was moving at supersonic speed in a direction totally and completely away from God. Yet Noah, the scripture records, found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because he was righteous. He was blameless. That means he was a man of integrity. And he walked with God. Noah enjoyed sweet fellowship with God as the two walked together in perfect harmony. As he walked in harmonious fellowship with God, Enoch was the beneficiary of divine wisdom from God and the unique experiences he had with God. Perhaps God and Enoch shared thoughts and ideas while they talked about the future as they walked along. Enoch enjoyed God's company, and Enoch was dependent upon Him. God found Enoch's company to be pleasing as the two friends enjoyed sweet fellowship and communion one with the other. Recalling the great hall of faith presented in Hebrews 11, Enoch was commended as one who pleased God. Are you like Enoch, walking in harmonious fellowship with God? Are you like Enoch, living totally dependent upon Him? Would you, like Enoch, be commended as one who pleases God? Folks, when you do, you will never walk alone. Accompanying his friendship and fellowship with God was Enoch's fellowship of God. Enoch's pattern of walking with God, a love relationship built upon, based upon faith, was a walk of following God in faithful obedience to divine instruction. Our friendship, our fellowship with God, and our fellowship with Him can be strengthened through communicating with God in prayer. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica to pray without ceasing. James said, "The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much." Your fellowship with God can be strengthened through prayer. Your fellowship with God can be strengthened by celebrating God in worship. The psalmist wrote, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Your fellowship with God can be strengthened by meditating on God's Word in Bible study. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and on this law he meditates day and night. Your fellowship of God can be strengthened by cooperating with God in service as laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9, as you serve the Lord with gladness. Psalm 100, verse 4. Having walked with God for a lifetime, the conclusion of Enoch's life was not like others before or after him. The genealogical list presented in Genesis 5 outlines the generational ancestry from Adam to Noah by providing information about father-son relationships, the lifespan of the individuals mentioned. You have read that. You maybe just zip right through it. What's this all about? But the phrase, "and he died," abruptly punctuates and concludes the description of every person in that list, except for Enoch. The penalty for eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil became evident as you read through that list. Enoch, however, did not die. Rather, Scripture records Enoch walked with God and he was no more because God took him away. Of note, Noah also walked with God, but he died. Enoch was a man of special distinction in terms of the manner in which he departed this earth. Other than Elijah, who moved from his earthly sojourn to eternity in heaven, riding in a chariot of fire, Enoch bears the distinction of being taken to be with God without the usual and expected experience of physical death. Concerning Enoch's end-of-life experience, the writer of Hebrews offered, By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God took him away. Both the brief, I'll call it biography, of Enoch in Genesis 5 and the hall of faith or the wall of faith presentation of Enoch in Hebrews 11 indicate that God took Enoch away. Do you ever wonder where Enoch's family and friends thought that Enoch was when he was no longer seen, when he was no longer present with them? I am of the conviction that his family and friends believed that Enoch was with God. After observing the manner in which Enoch had walked with God daily for a lifetime, perhaps with arm extended like S.D. Gordon, so that the master could link arms with him, those who knew Enoch recognized that nothing could separate the two close friends from each other. Thus, when Enoch was no longer present with them, family and friends knew that Enoch was in a better place, and they likely would respond to the question, "Well, where is Enoch?" In the same manner with which they responded countless times throughout his lifetime, saying something like, "Don't worry about Enoch. He's not alone. He is still walking with God." B.B. McKinney was a prolific writer of hymns. And had he been a contemporary with Enoch, my best guess is that Enoch would have sung songs such as "Have Faith in God" or "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go." A less familiar hymn written by Nelson Sosa depicts not only Enoch's approach to life, but the approach of life that all of us as Christians ought to have ourselves. A daily pattern of walking with God. We can be reminded, we can be encouraged with these words: "Jesus, my Lord and Savior, Jesus, my faithful friend. Through darkest night, He leads me. I put my trust in Him. Walking along with Jesus, sharing as good friends do, our voices ring with laughter, no other friend so true. Fear not the road before you, though it is still unknown. Jesus is always with you. You will not walk alone. Walking along with Jesus, sharing as good friends do, our voices ring with laughter, no other friend so true." My question for you today is this: are you walking with God today? Are you, not your neighbor, but you, walking with God today? You can enjoy friendship and fellowship with God by taking the first step of faith to accept Him into your life as Lord and Savior. Jesus invited Zacchaeus to come down from the tree. "I must needs go into your house today." When Zacchaeus responded, Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come to this house." As the little tax collector, the wee little man, began walking with God. Riding from the Isle of Patmos, John expressed how Jesus is standing at the door of your heart, knocking, desiring for you to open the door and invite Him into your life, to begin walking with the Savior and to enjoy the friendship, the fellowship, the obedient followership that accompanies walking with God. Are you walking with God today? When you do, you will never walk alone. Heavenly Father, I pray in the stillness of this moment that we have with You that everything that might be a distraction would be put on hold. That our focus, the meditation of our hearts, our minds, our spirits would be upon You. And Father, if there is that one who needs to do business with You by taking that first step of faith and publicly declaring, I am a sinner who wants to give my heart, my life to the one who died for me to rescue me from my sin. I pray, Lord, that one, that two, that three or more would do that today. Father, if there is that one who has not been walking with You as closely as they know they need to and know You would have them to, Father, to recommit, to rededicate, to come forward and say, as we begin this new year, I want to do so walking with God in lockstep. Father, I pray that You would create a clean spirit in all of us. I pray that You would a clean heart in all of us, renew a right spirit among us in such a way that we would, as a church, walk with You, trusting You for guidance, for leadership, as we follow in obedient trust. Father, whatever the needs are this day, whatever the decisions that might need to be made, Father, I just give them all to You and trust You to work a work in the lives of these Your people. In Your Son's name I pray, amen. Our hymn of opportunity is, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. As we stand, as we sing, I'll be here at the front. Jack's going to lead. You respond. Stephen, you got anything you need to say? All right. Well, good deal. Well, before we close, you know, I wanted to do something. The reason I chose, we have sung I Surrender All a lot, and that's usually a typical
invitation song, but I chose that because we've started a new year here. And have you surrendered all to Jesus? I know I could. There's always something else I can surrender to the Lord, something that I haven't given to Him completely. So let's look at that in our lives. Let's ask Him to examine us and to see what it is we haven't surrendered to Him for this new year. And so that was kind of one of the reasons I sang that invitation hymn, but also want to share this with you as our parting song. I don't want anybody running out early or nothing like this. I want this to be a dedication song for you and your families. And I'm specifically speaking to the men, as we're supposed to be the spiritual leaders of our houses, you know, and to put that foot down and to say that we don't care what's going on in the world or what the world's going to do to us or anything else. But I want to share this scripture with you. Well, I did. One second. I'm sorry. Joshua 24:15. I got it. That don't need. I'll find it quicker here. Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So I wanted us to sing this song as we leave today, as we start a new year, not just for the year 2026, but for the rest of our lives, that we dedicate and we say, as for me and my house, I don't care what the world does, but we're going to serve the Lord regardless of what that means. So let's sing this as we leave today.
Serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Can we sing that again?